ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When you see someone begging at a train station, at a park, or outside your local supermarket, what goes through your head? Maybe you ask yourself, what should I do? Or you try to remember if you actually have any physical money you could give them. What you're probably not asking is this legal? Across Australia, the laws around begging vary from state to state. In Victoria, where begging is illegal, it's become an issue of public debate. The Age newspapers reported that the Attorney General has asked the government to consider abolishing the offence. It follows the death of a Melbourne woman, Jessica Geddes, who was forced by her abusive partner to beg for food, cigarettes, and money. And the Victorian coroner, in his report that was handed down recently, didn't criticise police, but said that the officers responding to complaints about her begging seemed to treat it as an individual issue rather than considering it in a broader context. And that's really the heart of it. Begging isn't just about someone asking for spare change. It's a visible symptom of much deeper social problems. With me is Thalia Anthony, a professor in the Faculty of Law at the University of Technology, Sydney, who has a focus on social justice, and Deborah De Natale, the CEO of the Council of Homeless Persons and a director on the board of Homelessness Australia. Thalia, I might start with you. How do Australian laws deal with begging across the country?
Thanks, Tegan. I mean, you're totally right. It really varies. In Victoria, where it's illegal, there is a maximum penalty of 1 year imprisonment, so pretty serious. In the Northern Territory, also illegal, you can face a fine of $6,500, and South Australia, also illegal. Otherwise, the states and territories have decriminalised many of them many, many years ago because of the risks, including deaths in custody that can arise from people being imprisoned from these types of street offences.
What does it do to people when this is an offence?
Well, I think it stigmatises them. We know most people are begging for survival. It's not a choice. And it makes them feel that they're a problem and that they're a criminal problem. And policing, which affects, from our studies, 90% of homeless people, makes people feel that they're excluded from society. It's certainly an intervention that is tarnished with a certain feeling of harassment rather than support.
Mm. So begging is one thing, that it can either be criminalised or illegal or not. But even states that don't have specific anti-begging laws, there are other ways that those people can be targeted by law enforcement.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the challenges. We certainly can decriminalise, and I think should decriminalise begging, but it doesn't mean that homeless people or people who are on the streets and begging are free from the shackles of the criminal law. So they can also be charged with, for example, public disorder. There's offensive language provisions. There's also, requests that police can make to move on. And then if they fail to move on for the requisite amount of time or distance, they can then face a criminal penalty. So homeless people, even in the states where begging is decriminalised, have constant surveillance and interventions by police.
So Thalia, you were involved in a study done a couple of years ago which interviewed people who were homeless and also judges and lawyers. What kind of things were you hearing?
Yeah, my colleagues and I spoke to 164 homeless people across the country, and we were hearing that they actually found the intervention of the police and the apprehension as quite a threat to their safety. They would often say that the police would go into their camps in the middle of the night, shine torches, ask them to move on, pick up all of their belongings and send them off to a place that is unfamiliar to them. They also spoke about, violence that was at the hands of police. They spoke about being put in custody and not having their medication with them and their health issues treated. So there were lots of concerns, and the overwhelming response we received was that they just wanted less policing in their lives. They felt that when they were housed, they never had anything to do with the police, but all of a sudden they were in the orbit of the police that made them feel really vulnerable, in addition to all the vulnerabilities you feel when sleeping on the streets and living in poverty.
So, Deborah, you're with you're the CEO of the Council to Homeless Persons. You're also with Homelessness Australia. What would decriminalising begging have done in the case of Jessica Geddes, who I mentioned at the beginning?
Well, firstly, I just want to acknowledge what Alia said, which is that it's no one's first choice to beg. And I think making it a crime reinforces the stigma that people experiencing homelessness are the problem and they're not. In the tragic case of Jessica, we know through the coroner's report that there were significant amounts of intervention in relation to the begging, but at no point did anyone use that contact with Jessica to ask her what the problem was. Mm. So while they were focusing on all of these complaints about begging, no one got to the core of the issue, which was the extreme domestic family violence that she experienced by her partner. And had one police officer at that point linked her up to either a family violence service or a specialist homelessness service, there could have been a very different outcome for Jessica. So I think it's a really good point to highlight that actually by making it a law to beg in particular parts of the country, you're actually exacerbating the problem and you're not getting to the core of the problem. And I always say to people that homelessness is a failure of systems, not people.
Mm. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Deborah DiNatale, who's the CEO of the Council to Homeless Persons, and Thalia Anthony, who's a professor in the Faculty of Law at the University of Technology, Sydney, talking about the fact that Victoria, there are calls there to decriminalise or legalise begging, and it's come off the back of a really sad story, a woman, Jessica Geddes, who was forced to beg by an abusive partner who later killed her. And in the coroner's report, he mentioned that the officers responding to the complaints about her begging seemed to treat it as an individual issue rather than considering it in a broader context. So I'm talking today about what we could do as a society to make it safer for people who find themselves in the position where they have to beg, what we can all be doing from a legal perspective, but also at an individual level. Jane in Hobart says, when I see someone begging, I consider what it took to bring someone to that, how hard things must be. I'll always give what I can. Another text says, I give money to First Nations women who are begging, and I try to give a note rather than change. Deborah, can you talk to me about numbers. Do we know whether begging has increased in Australia over recent years? We hear so much about cost of living pressures.
Well, what we know anecdotally is that certainly where I am in Victoria and when I travel across the country, we're seeing more and more people on the street, and that's because we've got a housing crisis in this country and we need to do everything we can to get more social housing online for people who need it most. And the other thing I want to say is that we work with a lot of people with lived experience of homelessness, and what they often say to us is how humiliating it is to be on the street and have people that just do not acknowledge them. And I always say, treat them like you treat your neighbour. Hi, how are you? Yep, found yourself a really good spot here. Pretty sunny. You got yourself a nice shady place. Hope your day's going well. And often you'll find that people will say, you are the first person that's spoken to me in 2 days. So it's not just about the opportunity that if you don't have money, you ignore people. It's about making sure that those members are, in fact, part of our community, and you're making them feel like they're part of their community. And we hear those experiences every day from people who are living in public spaces who say, actually, people not giving me money isn't the problem. People who are just ignoring me and pretending I'm not on the street is really the part that makes me feel like my dignity has gone.
On the text line, Dougie says, thank you for highlighting the issue of begging. If society makes some people beggars, why do we get upset when they beg? Australia has a very low rate of payment for those who are out of work. Rents in the private sector are out of the range of anyone on social security benefits. Dougie says, I worked in the homelessness sector for over 40 years in the UK and New South Wales. Poverty is a systems issue, not a personal failing. Thalia, what systems changes do we need to make then if we're going to start to shift the needle here?
Such a good question, Tegan. I think broadly we need to address the homelessness crisis, and I want to specifically point to Victoria that did address it for a very short time, and that was during COVID. They adopted a housing first policy. They got people off the streets very quickly. So we know that it can happen. What I would also say, coming from a criminal law background, is we invest billions and billions of dollars in the criminal justice system. And so we are housing increasing numbers of people. It just seems that those people, many of them homeless, are housed in prisons. And so I think we need to think about our priorities as a society.
Deborah?
Look, what needs to change? The single biggest intervention that the government in Victoria can make is to, and certainly other jurisdictions across the country, is to ensure that we've got social housing for people. We have the face of homelessness today is a woman between the ages of 25 and 39 experiencing family violence. And once she goes on a priority wait list, she often with children under the age of 11 in her care, is waiting 19 and a half months before she can access that housing. So we're forcing women with young children to be making some very unsafe decisions. That can be living in their car, it can be sleeping rough, or it can be couch surfing. And it's just a matter of government saying, we can end homelessness. We know we can do it. We've done it during COVID, and we are going to make that a priority in this country.
So obviously homelessness and begging are really closely linked, but with the begging specifically, Jen's asking, and Thalia, I might get you to answer this, is there evidence that it being illegal reduces begging?
No, not that I've seen at least. Given that it is it's an act of necessity, criminalisation is not going to provide a deterrence. I think it's also important to recognise that begging in Australia is not, on the whole, an aggressive act. It's very rare for it to be aggressive. It's done passively, usually someone on the street with a sign, perhaps approaching people gently. It's not something that is invasive. So to equate it with the types of crimes we otherwise think about criminalising, I think is an inappropriate analogy. And so, you know, the idea that we can deter through criminalisation, if people need to eat, that's the first thing they're going to be thinking about.
Deborah, what do we know about Australian attitudes towards it?
Like attitudes towards a lot of social issues, it's mixed, and it really depends on which part of the country you're living in, and certainly depends on which suburb you're living in if you're in Victoria. So I would say it's mixed. What I would say that is really pleasing is that people have understood that housing is a real problem in this country, and particularly in Victoria. And by acknowledging that, they can see that homelessness is becoming an issue, and it's no longer something that's foreign. So people will often talk about the housing crisis because they can see the unaffordability. And we did a study at CHP that actually found more working Victorians than ever before have been seeking the support from homelessness services, and those are often people with a double income. So that has really been able to highlight the extent of the crisis, and people will understand that the effect of not having enough income will mean that you do need to resort to begging on the streets. So I would say a combination of the cost of living crisis has meant that we are getting more sympathy from the public.
We've talked about the structural things that need to change, the legal things that need to change, but I think there's a real desire, at least from what I'm seeing, people texting in, to know what to do, what the correct thing is to do when you see someone who's in need. One person says, I only give to people asking for money if I've got to know them, which is more likely in a small town, for example, in Broken Hill. Another says, I had a lady ask me to bank transfer her $20 when I said I had no physical money on me. Is that safe? Thalia, what can we do as community members?
Look, I think that often when people give, it's because they feel that human compassion. And I think that's a really nice thing in a society that can otherwise be quite individualistic and divisive. And so I think it is a really lovely thing to reach out when someone is asking and respond where you can. But I also think that these are deeply political issues. And so it's important just as much to look at what our expectations are for our politicians, what lobbying can we do to change the situation of growing homelessness. Because at the end of the day, we're only going to be able to give so much with charity, and these are really big decisions around how we allocate resources.
Deborah, how would you see, you've said the thing about going up, saying hi, treating someone like a neighbour, especially in a time when so few of us do have cash on us, what's the best way to help where you can as an individual?
Look, there are a couple of things in terms of that. I think a meal can mean a lot to someone. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I saw a really great interaction where someone had walked out of Woolies and said, look, I haven't got any cash, but do you feel like, you know, a can of Coke or a drink? It's really hot today. But I think the important point here is that street donations will not end rough sleeping. And what we need to do is, if the public really want to support, they can do both. They can ask someone if they want a drink or how their day's been. But then they can go back and ring their local member and say, we want to make sure ending homelessness is a priority for you, and I want to know what you're doing in your region to make sure that you are giving everybody the dignity of a home. The big thing that we have here is that it's time for all political parties to make a commitment that we want to deliver housing justice for everybody. And the really good news is most of the polling will say that the majority of Victorians want to end homelessness, and it's a win-win. Because what you do is you end up boosting the construction industry, which is what we want. We're really lucky in Victoria. We've got Infrastructure Victoria, which is the independent body that advises government, that says the number one thing we need to do is to build more social housing, and they've given us a roadmap about how to get there.
So on the legal side, some people have said that decriminalising begging would lead to an increase in inverted commas, professional begging. Deborah, what are your thoughts on this?
That sounds like a nonsense to me. That actually has the presumption that begging is a choice. Begging is not a choice. Begging is done out of desperation. Begging is done by people who are living in extremely vulnerable circumstances, and it's often really unsafe.
Thalia?
Oh, look, I think there is lots of begging going on in society. It just tends to go on behind closed doors, and I'm sure that includes professional begging in many different ways. I think the reality is that the begging on the streets is the one that is criminalised. And so decriminalisation protects those people who are vulnerable in those contexts. I think it's a separate issue as to whether there's a proliferation generally of professional begging, because I think that indicates that, you know, there is something more sinister going on the streets. And I think that's a, you know, way of distracting politically from the needs of people, not just for decriminalisation, but I think for more social work and casework, mental health support, alcohol and drug support, so many things that are needed by these people. To assume that there is something profitable going on completely turns upside down what is happening and misrepresents the reality.
I should say we did reach out to the Victorian state government for comment on the report that they're considering decriminalising begging, but we didn't hear back by deadline. Well, Thalia and Deborah, thank you both so much for sharing your insights today. Thalia Anthony is a professor in the Faculty of Law at the University of Technology, Sydney. She has a focus on social justice. And Deborah DiNatale is the CEO of the Council to Homeless Persons and a director on the board of Homelessness Australia.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.